Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thanks for listening. Finding housing in Juneau is hard. Finding housing downtown is nearly impossible. Still, a historic multi-story building in the heart of downtown has sat empty for years. So what's going on? KTOO reporter Clarice Larson finds out.
Downtown Juneau's historic Bergman Hotel is one of Alaska's oldest residential buildings. It was the brainchild of a German immigrant who built it to house local miners. Today, the three-story and 46-room hotel's windows are boarded up. Green moss covers its tan siding, and the inside is largely gutted. Shannon Crossley, a historic preservationist and local architect, says when the Bergman opened in 1913, it was considered one of Juneau's finest hotels.
It was the epitome of style and class, and it had all of these attributes that you wanted in a place to forget that you were in the middle of the wilderness.
In 1977, the building was listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Four decades later, the city condemned it after a series of police raids. That displaced about 50 tenants, many struggling with mental illness and substance abuse. Now, a developer says he wants to breathe new life into the old building. Dave D'Amato, who bought the Bergman in 2019 with his brother, says he's not worried about the building's reputation.
When it reopens as something new, it will stand on its own at that point, and hopefully will be a feather in Juneau's cap.
D'Amato says he wants to restore the building's history and turn it into low- and middle-income housing. The plan is to renovate the building to house 18 apartments on its top two floors, 16 one-bedroom units and two efficiency units, all while maintaining its historic qualities. He says the building's ground level will be open for a restaurant to move in.
We will begin work this year. I would say that that building is going to be functioning in 3 years.
The cost of the renovation is expected to be $2.8 million. Last August, D'Amato applied to the city's Affordable Housing Fund, asking for a $900,000 loan. He'd applied the year before, too. With that funding, he said the project would have begun construction late last year, but the project wasn't selected. Assemblymember Alicia Hughes-Scandes is the chair of the city's Land, Housing, and Economic Development Committee. She says each year the Affordable Housing Fund gets far more requests than it can fund, meaning some projects don't get selected right away.
I was really pleased to see it back on the list because it tells me that they're making progress, and I would love to, you know, see something come to fruition.
D'Amato says the company has about $500,000 available now to do some preliminary work in February. He says they plan to apply to the city's fund again next year, and other grant applications are pending. Crossley, the architect, who is also on the city's Historic Resources Advisory Committee, says preserving Juneau's architectural history is important not only for Juneau's history, but also for the state of Alaska's.
We have one of the most intact historic downtown cores in the state of Alaska. And when I say that, I mean a lot of other communities have had rogue waves take them out. Fires have been a big problem.
The 2023 assessed value of the building and property is about $480,000. D'Amato declined to share how much he purchased it for in 2019. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
Last weekend's winter storm dropped more than 30 inches of snow on the mountains around Juneau. That set the stage for avalanche activity. But two avalanches in downtown Juneau this week came down under clear skies, well after the snow had stopped falling. KTOO's Anna Canny tells us how that happened.
Wendy Wagner with the Chugach Avalanche Information Center says most people have a generic idea of an avalanche. A snowstorm starts.
The snow piles up and it can't quite stick to the sides of the slopes all the time, and it can avalanche during a storm.
But this week, avalanches dusted Juneau's Barrens neighborhood under clear skies, well after the snow stopped falling. Wagner says that's because the snowstorm itself is only part of the story when it comes to avalanches.
The winds can actually create their own avalanche cycle and own avalanches.
When the wind blows across the ridge, it moves snow around, picking it up from the windward side and dropping it on the leeward side, where it forms heavier drifts. If the snow is light and powdery, like the snow that was dumped this weekend, even a light wind can move it around. But Juneau did not have light winds this week. Moderate winds on Tuesday loaded up the avalanche paths on Mount Juneau. Then, on Wednesday and Thursday, the winds got even stronger. The National Weather Service issued a high wind warning, predicting gusts of up to 70 miles per hour. That kind of strong windstorm can deposit snow faster than an actual snowstorm, up to 10 times faster.
So you can have winds for a few hours. If they're just right, they can make an avalanche problem pretty quickly.
The wind isn't just moving snow around. It's also changing the snowflakes themselves. It batters them around, and they break down into smaller pieces as they collide in the air. Those small pieces pack tighter when they land again and form a dense layer of snow known as a wind slab, which puts pressure on the existing snowpack.
So all of a sudden, you have this kind of more dense layer of wind-drifted snow that's sitting on a less dense, more uncohesive layer, and that's the perfect recipe for an avalanche.
But Juneau residents know that an avalanche doesn't happen every time a strong wind blows. Mike Janes, an avalanche forecaster with Alaska Electric Light and Power, said this week's avalanches were also caused by problems deep down in the snowpack.
The main reason is that we have kind of a series of these weak layers with crusts and sugary snow between them.
Basically, icy layers that can bond poorly and break easily. So this week, when the wind built a heavy wind slab on the Barrens Path, it tested those layers, and it broke them, triggering an avalanche. But wind doesn't always make avalanches more likely. Stronger winds, like the 100-mile gust that can sometimes whip by on Thane Road, may actually push snow off the ridge.
A lot of times, that will reduce avalanche activity in some ways, because it's doing so much stripping, whereas with Mount Juneau, it's a little more protected.
Further up the channel, Mount Juneau is more sheltered. The winds are more likely to stay in a 40 to 60 mile per hour range, which is perfect for building wind slabs. That puts Juneau's Barrens Path right in the sweet spot for wind-driven avalanches. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Alaska's only state-run psychiatric hospital plans to launch two new programs for people without the mental capacity to stand trial. The one-year pilot programs would triple the Alaska Psychiatric Institute's capacity to provide restoration services for people facing criminal charges. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has this story.
Alaska Psychiatric Institute's, or API's, initiative would expand a 10-bed inpatient program to also serve outpatients and people in jail. The program aims to help people found not competent for trial better manage their condition and educate them about the legal process. The main goal is to help people become mentally competent enough to stand trial. Dr. Christy Becker, an API psychologist, is the program lead.
We use medication for individuals who have psychosis to help ameliorate their worst symptoms that interfere with their ability to understand what's happening to them. And then for individuals who have cognitive deficits or intellectual disabilities, we do a lot of teaching. This is what your attorney's job is. This is what a judge does. This is how a plea bargain works. Concepts like that.
The plan would expand API's program capacity to 30. Becker says Alaska has lagged behind other states in providing restoration services. API's 10 beds are the only program in the state.
That is the lowest per capita bed count for competency restoration in any state in the nation.
The few spaces in API's program means a wait list. Becker says it's usually around 40 people, and people on the list may have to wait for up to 5 months. Becker says the new programs would help cut the wait list without adding physical beds to the facility. One program is for up to 10 people who are in jail. They'll work with clinicians from API while they remain incarcerated. The second is for nonviolent offenders who've been released on bail. That will be an outpatient program in Anchorage for up to 10 people. Even with the pilot programs, Alaska will still have the fewest inpatient beds per capita for this type of program. But Becker says it would move Alaska closer to average for how many people are served by all branches of the program. And she says it will likely save the state money because inpatient treatment is so costly. The new programs could allow nonviolent offenders to avoid inpatient treatment, letting them stay in their community connected to existing support. The criminal justice system sometimes catches people who may need mental health care but aren't getting it. Becker says accessing care, even if it's through the criminal justice system, can be transformative.
Mentally ill individuals, based on data, based on research, are not more likely to be violent than other individuals. And I think that's a misnomer that sometimes comes of this, because often the only time these sorts of cases find their way into the news is when something has gone wrong. Many of these folks do tend to do well. Many of them do only come through the process one time.
API plans to start the programs this month. Becker says the goal is reduced wait times and reduced recidivism. If successful, they hope to continue and expand the programs. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 25 degrees and clear. There is a high wind warning in effect until midnight tonight. This is KTOO.